Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. 936 points, a dizzying record rise of the Dow today.
Tomorrow's really going to tell the tale. The bond market will be back in business, and we'll have to see if banks are starting to lend to each other again. And if that indeed is the case, we very well may have hit a bottom here.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. The index up so much, so fast today, stock traders are breathless. Bernie McSherry's got his fingers crossed.
Credit markets are still frozen, but it's going to be difficult if you have the entire weight of the world's governments leaning into this problem for the markets to resist. So I think we're in a good spot.
The Dow up 936 to finish at 9,387. The Nasdaq gains 194 points. S&P 500 up 104. Economics on the campaign trail. Barack Obama introducing a new four-point middle-class economic rescue plan. CBS's Dean Reynolds in Toledo, Ohio.
Obama did not back off at all on promising a tax cut for those making less than $250,000 a year. He's also calling for reducing the cost of health care, recruiting new teachers, creating 5 million new jobs. Ideas which the Republicans say will require massive tax hikes, not cuts.
At Cape Fear College in North Carolina, John McCain.
The next president won't have time to get used to the office. He won't have the luxury of studying up on the issues before he acts.
General Motors announcing a shutdown. WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert says more than 1,000 jobs will be lost when the Wyoming, Michigan plant closes.
Job cuts come as GM is looking everywhere it can to cut costs. The Grand Rapids Metal Center was relatively far from GM's assembly plants, meaning high transportation costs. And many of its parts went into trucks, which haven't been selling well. Just over 1,300 workers will lose their jobs when that plant closes its doors at the end of next year.
These flames are fierce. The winds are strong. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
If the winds blow the way they did last night, we're in for a couple of rough days.
Powerful winds re-energizing canyon fires just north of Los Angeles. Two deaths now attributed to the 7,000-acre fires. The trials and tribulations of one-time North Carolina District Attorney do continue now. CBS's Jim Crisula reporting on the latest.
After he lost his job and law license for prosecuting trumped-up charges in the Duke lacrosse rape case, Mike Nifong was left strumming the blues. Now he can't even do that. Three of Nifong's prized guitars have fetched $5,100 in less than a half hour in a court-ordered bankruptcy auction.
Now, officials now say a Michigan woman drove to Nebraska just to abandon her son under that state's safe haven law. Todd Landry with Family Services. There.
This is not what the intent of our legislature was when they passed LB 157. It was clearly intended for children in Nebraska who were in immediate danger of being harmed.
The 13-year-old is the 18th child abandoned in Nebraska's safe haven since July, second from out of the state. This is CBS News.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? SAVE. But how much will you need? FINRA's retirement calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's FINRA.org.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Given the state of the economy, this year's Nobel Prize for Economics does deserve special notice.
Princeton University scholar and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman won the Nobel Prize for showing how economies of scale can affect trade patterns and the growth of cities.
I'm still quite utterly stunned.
Krugman's mother, Anita, wonders what took so long.
Wow. I said, it's about time. That's what I said. I'm very thrilled for him.
Krugman has been a vocal critic of President Bush's economic policies and the government's efforts to resolve the credit crisis. The British government, he says, went straight to the heart of the problem. Frank Setapani, CBS News.
We are learning a little more about Levi. Against the advice of the McCain campaign, Levi Johnston is talking to the media. The high school dropout who is having a baby with Sarah Palin's 17-year-old daughter telling Associated Press he is not being forced into a shotgun wedding with Bristol Palin that they've been talking about marriage for a while now. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Most weekends, going to the mall could help you change your wardrobe or home for the better. But this weekend, it could change your whole life. Because this weekend, you can experience a major breakthrough in sleep technology. The Sleep Number Bed, an innovative revolution in comfort that can offer no less than a wonderful night's sleep for an individual or a couple, simply because you control your total comfort. Everyone can discover their sleep number at a select comfort store. It's fast, fun, and free. Visit us this weekend to discover your sleep number on our newest, most advanced sleep systems with temperature control materials. What can happen when you find that number? Well, among other things, a perfect night's sleep for the rest of your life. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Now through Columbus Day, October 13th, choose cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 years with approval on our entire line of beds. Or save $500 on the new Sleep Number Memory Foam Queen Bed Set. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Today's broadcast is sponsored in part by James Siebert of Wilberts. Wilberts? Sorry, James Siebert of Willits. He heard the call to action and he responded, you can help too. There's a link on my website. Right on the homepage, it says you can help at peterbcollins.com. We're scrambling against the Bush economy and the trickle-down economics to keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. And James Siebert stepped up in a big way. Thank you, James. Can I call you Jim? On our program today, a fascinating new documentary about stolen elections. John Wellington Ennis will join us in just a moment. Later this hour, Ari Berman of The Nation checks in. Way back in May, when the Clinton campaign was trying to slime Obama with Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground, Berman wrote a piece for The Nation. We'll talk about Bill Ayers, about the smear campaign, and is a kinder, gentler John McCain emerging from the muck? I doubt it. I'm suspending my campaign until I can take it entirely negative. Yeah, that one. Also on today's program, Cliff Schechter, our regular, the author of The Real McCain. He'll join us in an hour. And we're going to meet the Assembly Majority Leader in Sacramento. Alberto Torrico will join us. He's got his hands full. They just got finished with a Mickey Mouse smoke and mirrors budget, and now they've got to do it again. With less cash coming in and a higher cost of borrowing, it all adds up to more of a mess in Sacramento. Lots of room for your phone calls, too, in the free speed zone later today. You can call before then if you like. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And should you take exception to a comment of your humble host, send it to fullofit at peterbcollins.com. It will reach me. John W. Ennis, his full name, John Wellington Ennis, is the producer, filmmaker, director, writer, and the dude who stars in a new documentary called Free for All. He describes himself as a citizen journalist. John Wellington Ennis, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much for having me, man. This is awesome.
Well, it's great to talk with you, and thanks for making this film, dude. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, well, thanks, man. And, you know, that's all I can hope for, is that people can see it and just know that someone else is out there feeling the same way as they do, that, you know, you might feel alienated and you realize that, you know, you're not alone. And mm-hmm. there's actually the majority of the people that feel alienated, and it's because we didn't elect this, you know, monarchy that's taken over.
I want to know more about you, because while you position yourself as just a dude and a citizen journalist, this film is produced with very high values. It's smart, it's funny, it's well edited, and it's not quite a super serious documentary that takes us down to the level of hanging chads and ballots that were remarked after the fact. But you still have a very strong impact in raising awareness about the stolen elections of 2000 and 2004.
Well, thank you. I am still torn somewhere between being some dude who, you know, has been given the benefit of the doubt to society for a long time, and this election integrity activist. And, you know, I wouldn't have had to become this, I guess, if I wasn't so drawn into that sort of restless feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That, and, you know, to end up, you know, really just trying to get at it in the most objective way, starting from the bottom, you know, I find out not just of widespread anomalies, but I become familiar with experts, and I track them down, and I include them, and, you know, people you know well, like Greg Palast, DeMarcus mm-hmm. Miller, and Brad Feedman, and Bob Petraeus, and then, you know, as I learn about each person coming into it, you know, I am some dude, because there's so many people, some of your listeners that have been so on top of this for so long. And so what you see in the film is really an explanation of my process
mm-hmm.
and going all the way through it and then breaking it down and saying, okay, voting machine's bad, but that's just one part of it. Look at this. Look at how many people don't even get to vote because of purging or caging, you know? And I can't not try to make light of it. I guess it's my Irish nature to try to, you know, make, you know, gallows humor where I can. And
John,
I'm really hoping that a lot of people will be able to check it out. It's online for free, actually, freeforall.tv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that, you know, more people that would normally look at this kind of thing, you know, let's say the converted, the aware, the enlightened, I'm hoping that this will be able to reach out to people who might normally not sit down and take a look at these things. And I think we all have members like that in our family.
Mm-hmm. And so what actually did get you off the couch? You ended up being the co-founder of Video the Vote, and that was a very important mission to go out and try to capture, you know, in real time, the events of the 2004 election as the heist was underway.
Yeah, well, actually, it was in the 2006 election that really brought me to Ohio
mm-hmm.
and led to Video the Vote, because I, you know, after watching all of the outrageous rulings by Secretary of State Ken Blackwell, ruling typically in favor of his candidate, George Bush, whose campaign he was the co-chair of, once I saw that Ken Blackwell was actually running for governor of Ohio, I couldn't even believe it. Are you kidding me? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like controlling the, you know, the rooster controlling the hen house, and that's the White House. And so it just seemed to me, you know, that, like, I, at the very least, if I could show up with a camera, it'd be one more person asking questions that might make them self-conscious and make them have to do their job harder, whatever they had in store in 2006. But then I started to realize that, you know, just having a camera could be one of the things that could really help, because, you know, the fledgling media recognition of a lot of these things is so unhelpful, and that's why, you know, we have so much misinformation and suppression as it is. And so, one, you know, Video the Vote evolved with my friend Ian Inaba, who directed American Blackout. He's also one of the founders of Guerrilla News Network. And
mm-hmm.
he and I wanted to be able to document problems at the polls on election day and be able to post them on YouTube so that the media could cover them, or you could even get, you know, election protection attorneys that could respond while the polls are still open and try to correct things or keep the polls open later. And at the very least, you know, out of this whole chain of different voter disenfranchisement that I observe, from, you know, registrations getting screwed up to, you know, misinformation about polling places or election day, you know, at least during game time, while the polls are open, we could try to clarify where things are going wrong and how, and how certain ID requirements cause confusion and disenfranchise people. And it's actually been helpful for, you know, reforming voting laws on Capitol Hill. It's been introduced as part of Barack Obama's bill against making voter misinformation and intimidation a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rush Holt bill as well for banning paperless voting machines.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with John Wellington Ennis here. He is the producer, director, and star of this new film called Free for All. And I want to set this up just a little bit better because you tossed off a line a couple of minutes ago about a free download. That's right. You can get a free download of this powerful new documentary. It's free. Did you hear that? Free. At www.freeforalltv. That's freeforall.tv. And it's a 95-minute documentary. I encourage you to download it. And you can also go to the website and buy the film, too, on DVD. That's how I actually watched it. And any way you can do it and get people to watch it, get young people to view it, I think it's a very important message, and I think it's done in a fascinating way. In a moment, probably in the next segment, John, I want you to tell us about your Michael Moore adventure when you went to the worldwide headquarters of Diebold, or would you say Diebold?
Well,
but
we
first,
can talk more about that, yeah.
But first, today, Monday, a judge in Detroit ruled that Michigan's voter removal program violates federal law, and it ordered the state to stop illegally purging voters from the rolls.
No.
And this is a case where, at least in part, people whose homes have been foreclosed since the primary have been told or they've received caging letters or various devices trying to discourage them from voting. But Brad Friedman told us that under Michigan law, if you voted in the primary, you can vote in the same polling place in the general election, even if you have moved in the meantime. And so this is another tactic to suppress the vote, to try to persuade people not to participate. And, John, as you point out in the film, it's a very clear bottom line for the Republicans. The fewer people who actually show up to vote on Election Day, the more likely Republicans win.
And I don't think that's a partisan thing to point out that fact.
No. No, it's a fact. And they will readily admit it. We've got, what's his name, Paul Weyrich. He's on video. If you go to YouTube and put Paul Weyrich, W-E-Y-R-I-C-H or something like that, in the search window, you'll come up with just a little snippet of a speech he gave where he says, oh, I don't like motor voter. Oh, we don't like everybody to vote. So they're very clear about what their tactics are.
Yeah.
Now, we've got 1 minute before the break, so let's talk about this, because I thought the most enjoyable part of your film for me was when you and a small camera crew went into Diebold headquarters in Canton, Ohio, without an appointment.
Right.
And why don't you take it from there about the reception that you received and just how many of their beefy security guards you got to meet?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Diebold, for all of its insider contracts, it does happen to be in Ohio, so at least when they're kicking money back, it stays in state. So, when we did finally show up at the Diebold headquarters, I haven't been quite sure. I just went in to ask a couple simple questions and was greeted with such a guilty, shocked presence. You know, this kind of stunt, you know, that Michael Moore, you know, first really honed, that sort of shock value, gonzo crew, you know, is such a farce of itself today, in the sense that, like, everyone's scared and terrified of it, and it's so not productive of getting any real information.
Mm-hmm.
And even just showing up there and the 1 minute of waiting to be able to talk to somebody and see what kind of, you know, straightforward answer we might get. I guess a guy who's like one of those, he seemed like he ran the place, because as soon as he walked in, they looked like, oh, John, here's someone here. And he's carrying this big picture with him. He sees the cameras and he holds his big picture frame up in front of his face and asks us to leave.
Uh-huh.
So even if he wasn't guilty of anything, it's like, dude, you're hiding behind a poster. It's like, and so all I ask is the correct pronunciation of how they say their name, since it varied so much in our interviews. It is Diebold. It's not Diebold, a
right.
Much more ominous name, you might think.
Yeah. Well, I just want to send Christopher what is that guy? Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. Send him in. send him into Diebold World Headquarters and see who holds a picture up to cover their face. We're going to take a break and return. Again, if you go to freeforall.tv, you can download this movie, Free for All, for free. John Wellington Ennis is your philanthropist and the star of this film and the filmmaker, too. And it's a pretty interesting approach. Free for All. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join us at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Desiree, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful, so for all of your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 374-1112. He listens. He cares.
Governor Bush swung far to the right and sought out the base support of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. Those aren't the ideas that I think are good for the Republican Party.
I believe that the Christian right has a major role to play in the Republican Party.
Neither party should be defined by pandering to the outer reaches of American politics and the agents of intolerance.
Do you believe that Jerry Falwell is still an agent of intolerance?
No, I don't.
It took us a long time to get in the situation we're in, and to say that and somehow assume that in a few months that things are going to get all better, I think is not realistic.
Say it's all in. How long are you going to give it to work?
A few months.
That Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran and receiving training and are coming back into Iraq from Iran, that's well known. I'm sorry, the Iranians are training extremists, not Al-Qaeda.
He's got
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Lord, you better run.
It's been 8 years of darkness. I refer to it as the new Dark Ages on occasion. And filmmaker John Wellington Ennis is with us. His new film is called Free for All. And it's about the stolen elections, Ohio and Florida, 04 and 00, respectively. And help me out here, John, because I'm really a man of mixed emotions right now. I see the polls improving for the Democrats. I see McCain on the ropes, scrambling. A little bit later on the show, we're going to talk about Bill Kristol's call to blow up the campaign. Ed Rollins says they're sunk. Ralph Reed is ready to jump ship, says, oh, my God, this is such a mess. But there are two factors here that give me pause. One is the race question that's been widely covered in recent weeks, and the other is what I call the margin of graft. And we know that the Republican vote suppression tactics have been employed as robustly this year as they have in the past. We don't have as many gay marriage-type ballot measures, but there are a few of those to draw out the religious conservatives. Sarah Palin is there for that purpose as well. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts are. What level of confidence do you have on the outcome of our election 21 days away?
Well, thank you very much, Peter, for allowing me to throw out my numerous thoughts on this. First of all, as far as the race question goes, I think, when the state of the country is so bad that you've got rednecks saying, like, I think I'm going to go with my pocketbook on this one, I think that, you know, while America is, you know, probably 40% racist, let's say, you know, it is still, I think, more, you know, practical than not. So I think even then, that's not going to be a factor that we have to worry about. I think as far as the religious turnout based on this, I think that's a lingering myth from a Karl Rove scenario that explains the surge in numbers that Bush got in 2004, you know, these late voting invisible evangelicals that came out against to support the gay marriage amendment ban in the Ohio Constitution in 2004, and that suddenly explained these, you know, sudden surge in numbers and votes that that would send George Bush in. No, I think the most important dealings will probably be before Election Day and perhaps just after Election Day. I would see that while there's all of these, you know, voter purges going off in states, and because of the vigilance and because of other people are trying to keep track of the stuff like me, you know, like what you just mentioned, Michigan, I think that, you know, it's going to be a state-by-state turf war to try to keep as many voters on the rolls and let as many people vote as possible. I think even with the electronic chicanery, there's going to be, you know, an overwhelming margin that even that can't suppress in its entirety. But I also see a lot of this smokescreen of voter fraud, you know, BS.
The Acorn attack that's underway right now.
Yeah, Acorn and Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've just made such a leap off of the truth.
Well, come on, man. They both start with A.
Well, that's a start for George Bush, maybe. And, you know, but all of that I see as setting the stage for, you know, challenges on Election Day and, you know, legal challenges to purge the rolls right before or right after Election Day, you know, to, you know, try to, you know, upend the results. You know, I think they already see that there's more votes than they could possibly steal.
And, John, I'm about to run out of time here. I want to plug your film one more time. It's called Free for All. Go to freeforall.tv and download it for yourself. Pass it around to as many people as you can. You can also buy a DVD there that has extra footage, too. And give us 20 seconds on the bonus film about Ken Blackwell.
You know, there's so much to really paint about the opportunist and hypocrite that is Ken Blackwell that, you know, we just didn't want to sidetrack the larger film to give him that much of a tribute. So to really see how a guy goes from
I'm gonna have to check that
left
out
left to right.
John Wellington Ennis, thank you very much. Great to meet you.
Thanks, man. Thank
all right.
you so much.
Thanks for your work. Freeforall.tv. Ari Berman from The Nation on Bill Ayers next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Both John McCain and Barack Obama have been waging what many are calling negative campaigns on one another. They both say that, number one, they are not doing that, and that, number two, they will stop. They both realize now that putting each other down all the time just makes voters angry, says McCain.
They are angry that our leaders are more interested in pointing fingers at each other and advancing their own political interests than in coming together, Democrats and Republicans, to solve the big problems we face.
And in the same spirit of not putting each other down all the time, Obama says,
John McCain tried to tone down the rhetoric at his town hall meeting. You know, I appreciate the fact that he said that we can disagree without being disagreeable.
So from now on, instead of talking about each other, they'll just focus on the issues.
But when it comes to the economy, John McCain just doesn't get it.
Rather than answer his critics, Senator Obama will try to distract you from noticing that he never answers the serious and legitimate questions he's been asked.
See how much better that is? Stand by.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things are sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
A presidential candidate doesn't need to keep throwing darts at his opponent. He can just talk about what's going on.
Unfortunately, my opponent, John McCain, John doesn't really seem to get what's going on.
It's good they won't be belittling each other's promises.
All of a sudden, Senator Obama claims he'll give 90% of Americans tax relief. What he hasn't told you is that half of the income of small business in America would be taxed.
Or each other's ads.
I don't want you guys to be fooled when John McCain and Sarah Palin start putting on their ads and their signs that we're all about change.
But apparently that sweetness and light policy is on hold.
After I whip his you-know-what in this debate, we're going to be going out 24/7.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Baby, quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour.
It was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She'd fire in her soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be. be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. The soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we say, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. And the voices rang like the angels sing. Sing, hey, oh,
my toll-free number is 888-5. Peter B., you can use it whenever you like. Call and join us on the program. Ari Berman from The Nation will join us a couple of minutes from now. And between now and then, I just wanted to take a moment to thank those of you who are helping us deal with some of the costs of keeping the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. And it is a struggle right now. I just have to be candid with you. And we're working diligently to get solvent and stay that way. And I want to thank the people who've reached out, some in small amounts and some in surprisingly large amounts, to help us with that issue. And not everybody has internet access, I realize that, but if you do, go to my website at peterbcollins.com, and right at the top of the homepage is a little link called You Can Help, and it gives you the options there. And in case you don't have internets, you can just drop me a note or a contribution, whatever you'd like, to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Post Office Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942, and I'm much obliged. And again, today we are honoring James Siebert of Willits, who made a very generous contribution to our program, and I really appreciate that, James. And this came in, it's not from Andy Borowitz, but it could be. And if you watch Bill Maher's show on HBO, you've noticed in the last few weeks, every week they have a little segment where they offer you an opportunity of where you can move if John McCain is elected president. Dateline Manitoba. A flood of American liberals sneaking across the border into Canada has intensified in the past week, sparking calls for increased patrols to stop the illegal immigration. The possibility of a McCain-Palin election is prompting the exodus among left-leaning citizens who fear they'll soon be required to hunt, pray, and agree with Bill O'Reilly. Canadian border farmers say it's not uncommon to see dozens of sociology professors, animal rights activists, and Unitarians crossing their fields at night. One farmer, Red Greenfield, says, I went out to milk the cows the other day and there was a Hollywood producer huddled in the barn. The producer was cold, exhausted, and hungry. He asked if I could spare a latte and some free-range chicken. Officials are particularly concerned about smugglers who meet liberals near the Canadian border, pack them into Volvo station wagons, drive them across the border, and leave them to fend for themselves. A lot of these people aren't prepared for rugged conditions, one border patrolman said. I found a carload without a drop of drinking water. They did have a nice little Napa Valley Cabernet, though. When liberals are caught, they're sent back across the border, often wailing loudly that they fear retribution from conservatives. Rumors have been circulating about the McCain administration establishing re-education camps in which liberals will be forced to shoot wolves from airplanes, deny evolution, and act out drills preparing them for the rapture. In recent days, liberals have turned to sometimes ingenious ways of crossing the border. Some have taken to posing as senior citizens on bus trips to buy cheap Canadian prescription drugs. After catching a half dozen young vegans disguised in powdered wigs, Canadian immigration authorities began stopping buses and quizzing the supposed senior citizens. If they can't identify the accordion player on the Lawrence Welk show, we get suspicious about their age. And Canadian citizens have complained about the illegal immigrants creating an organic broccoli shortage and renting all the good Susan Sarandon movies. So that's just in from north of the border. And joining me now is Ari Berman, who writes for The Nation. You can read his posts at thenation.com. Ari, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's wrong with shooting wolves?
From airplanes? Well, ask Sarah Palin. I'm sure
she... deer population.
She has a ready answer for that. Well, we want to dig back into the Berman archives, back to May of 2008, when it was the Clinton campaign desperately trying to spread fear about Bill Ayers and his relationship with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And now, just like so many themes that were used by the Clinton campaign against Obama, this one is back and larger than life. Although in the last couple of days, it appears John McCain is sending a different signal that the slime part of the campaign is over and it's time for the kinder, gentler John McCain.
Yeah.
Can you read that?
Well, I mean, I know that the good folks at National Review seem to care a lot about Bill Ayers. I haven't seen any evidence that voters care about this at all. I said at the time when Hillary was using it that I didn't think it would work against Obama. when you had Democrats who didn't seem to care about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said now that I don't think it was going to work. And I think the proof is in the pudding in that it hasn't moved the polls at all, because people are worried about their jobs, their investment accounts, their health care, their non-existent health care, their gas prices. They're not worried about Bill Ayers. They're not worried about what he did 40 years ago. They don't care that Barack Obama served on a board with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had the facts about what Barack Obama actually did on that board, they'd probably like Obama even better.
But
was trying to help poor people when he was serving with Bill Ayers.
But he was palling.
Public school.
He was palling around with a terrorist, and in Sarah Palin's little brain, that's something really serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes quite a bit of arrogance for someone who can't even name more than one Supreme Court case to go around taunting her much more qualified opponent. So, I mean, this is a sign of desperation. I mean, it was a sign of desperation when Hillary did it,
mm-hmm.
and it was a sign of desperation when McCain and Palin did it. And I think the rational people in the media, and I'd like to include myself in that category, just kind of sighed and said, here we go again. And some people got caught up in the storm. Luckily, all I had to do was repost a piece from May and said, look, this is a big deal.
You already been there and done that.
Exactly. There's been a lot of deja vu moments in this campaign, as you might imagine.
But what about the traction that the McCain-Palin campaign has gotten by raising this issue time and time again? And the most effective was shortly after Palin not only couldn't cite a Supreme Court case, but couldn't name a publication that she's read recently. She asked herself the question in a makeup session and said, well, in the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
I read about Bill Ayers and how he's been, you know, terrorist palling around with Barack Obama. And why did the Times publish that at that point? And I have the same criticism. I heard Network News on radio over the last couple of weeks where they will pop this up and not knock it back down by saying this is a scurrilous attack because there really is no significant connection between Obama and Ayers.
No. Well, I mean, I first don't think they've gotten any traction. I mean, I think they've been able to get the news to write about it and to talk about it, but I don't think it's helped at all. They're in an even worse place in the polls right now than they were before they launched the attack. So let's just say, number one, it hasn't worked, it won't work. Number two, I mean, I think the New York Times, there was a bit of payback going on, because the McCain campaign had been complaining over and over and over about the Times reporting. They complained about the stories Times broke about Rick Davis and his mm-hmm. connection, McCain's campaign manager, ties to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They were furious when the Times followed up with a very long piece about McCain and his ties to the gambling industry and his own craps habit, a rather expensive one at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were just furious at the Times. And I think basically the Times, you know, in an attempt to stay neutral, said, okay, what can we do to Obama? And they said, oh, there's new details about his relationship with Ayers, which the new details was like 5 board meetings that were held. I mean, it's not exactly scintillating material.
Hmm.
But they stretch it into a long front-page story that I quite frankly thought was incredibly irresponsible journalism. I thought it was a complete waste of time. There was nothing new in the story. And it's funny because if you read the Times story, they basically said, there's nothing new here. But they didn't really explain then why they actually published it, and then let alone put it on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly seems that Sarah Palin brought herself to do what George Bush never could, which is pick up a newspaper that day.
Well, it was provided for her. We can't imagine that she actually, you know, put money in the machine and took a newspaper out. That
I don't think she's probably ever done that in her life.
Ari Berman is with us here from The Nation. Read his work at thenation.com. So what about the overall tone of slime in general?
Mm-hmm.
Has the McCain campaign decided that this is not working? I mean, we have some interesting people weighing in. Bill Kristol in Monday's New York Times basically says, blow up the whole campaign. This is not working. Suspend everything. Then we have Ed Rollins, a knuckle-dragging Republican hardball political consultant, saying these guys are dead. And Ralph Reed popping up today to join those who are launching the life rafts.
Well, it is kind of scary when everyone says the same thing, you tend to believe that the opposite is true, or at least I do. But it seems in this case they're right. The McCain campaign's trajectory of the last 2 weeks absolutely hasn't worked. They've been zigzagging all over the place. And what Bill Kristol is saying is, listen, if you're going to talk about associations, talk about Jeremiah Wright, the big one, or else just ignore it. And honestly, if they talk about Reverend Wright right now, all it would do is push African American turnout from 95% to Obama to 96 or 97% for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think this is a lose. This is, people have heard this. They know who Jeremiah Wright is. It's not going to move votes. The people that decided they care about this stuff are already voting for McCain, in my opinion at least. So I don't think that works. So then you have to think, okay, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to try to have some message on the economy. Well, McCain was supposed to do that today, but instead he didn't really announce an economic plan. He decided he wanted to give kind of a more upbeat stump speech. Well, I think that's fine in a normal course of things. The problem is that McCain is not down one or two points. He's down many points, and the economy is just crushing him. And I really honestly don't think there's anything he can do right now. I think some kind of external event will have to reshape the race in his favor. I don't think he has the ability to reshape it in his favor right now.
Well, you make a good point, and Ari, I did think in the opening moments of last week's debate that McCain showed some bearings and a sense of getting to some critical things first. So he floated his new idea about a relief for the actual borrowers, a mortgage swap or buyout kind of program. And I'm generally in agreement with that. I think that's the best way to approach at least the mortgage aspect of the economic mess that we have right now. But in the details, it was a big mess because, you know, this was a liberal idea being advanced by a bunch of conservative lobbyists, and so they had to mangle it in the details.
Kind of like the Medicare plan.
Yeah, and so it made a good target for Obama to portray McCain as erratic and to say that that's a plan that won't work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the instinct of trying to get there before Obama, and he did that in that debate, and to float a progressive idea like that was a potential game changer. It's just in the wrong hands, even the right weapon can't be used very well.
Yeah, and the problem for McCain is his problems go much further back than just the last few weeks. I mean, he basically sold his soul to get the Republican nomination. He changed his position on so many issues that the McCain of 2003, I think, would pretty easily win a presidential election. He would appeal to a lot of independent voters, a lot of centrist voters. He'd be able to hold enough Republicans and get enough Democrats to probably win. But the problem is that same McCain now is for tax cuts he wasn't for before. He's for all sorts of policies he wasn't for before. He won't support his own immigration bill. I mean, he's all over the map. And he did that in an effort to be likable to Republicans. But the things that he did to endear himself to Republicans have really hurt him once he got into a general election. And I think, you know, Obama hasn't done anything too amazing the last few weeks, but he's just been consistent and steady. And I think in the debates, I've been interested because when I watch the debates, I basically thought the last two debates were a draw.
Yeah.
They both did pretty well. But clearly the stylistic comparison, the Nixon-Kennedy comparison, is working in Obama's favor.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people, I have to restrain myself, Ari, because I keep saying, you know, be more direct. You don't have to use lies or even stretch the truth. But talk about his 25 years of deregulation.
Yeah.
And go ahead and bring in Charlie Keating. That's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama doesn't do that. He stays really inside the ropes. And I do concede that it's working.
Yeah.
My fear is that after this week's debate, when all you have is free media and hit spots on television, that some of these things will be able to grow larger than life.
Yeah.
And there is no counter that is out there on the record about the most egregious of the mischaracterizations from the McCain side.
Yeah. That's true, although it's been floating out there. It's just that they haven't really pounded it home in public forums. But the thing is I fully expect the race to tighten. I mean, I don't really think it's going to be this wide of a margin on Election Day. I think it's going to get closer. And I think that partly just because the media wants it to get closer, and they're going to do everything in their power to try to get some sort of McCain comeback story going.
They're working on it. We got to take a break. We'll return with Ari Berman. Read his work at thenation.com. We'll continue, and if you have a question or comment, join me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're heading for the Canadian border, be sure to include some water along with that fine Napa Valley Cabernet, will you?
News coming. commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show, it's 8 minutes in front of the hour, visiting with Ari Berman from The Nation. This is for liberals heading for Canada or McCain supporters jumping ship. It's Tracy Chapman. It's called Give Me One Reason to Stay Here.
Give me one reason to stay here. Turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Ari, I want to share an email that I got earlier today from a complicated guy. He's a political activist in Orange County, and he and I agree that the California three strikes law is draconian, and Jim Benson and I have joined forces in the past to try to amend it. But he writes here an open letter to John McCain. I'm a former supporter from 2000. I campaigned for you in Orange County. And at that time, I was running a campaign for a local Reform Party candidate. I'm extremely concerned about the tone of your campaign, especially trying to tie the next likely president to a terrorist of 40 years ago who has actually reformed himself. I no more believe that Obama condones terrorism, which is what your suggestions imply, than I believe you intentionally cost taxpayers billions by helping Keating. And he goes on to say that if it's impossible for you to get control of your campaign team to prevent the potential disaster, then you should end your campaign now and offer your hand to Obama to help him bring the country together to face the unprecedented challenges we face. So I think it's fascinating to see how, you know, thinking, I was about to say principled, but then you put that together with conservatives. it tends to...
It's kind of an oxymoron.
It's combustible, yeah. So thinking conservatives are realizing not only that this is political death, but that it's just plain wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the Republicans are trying to do two things. I mean, maybe even three things. I mean, I think, number one, they're obviously trying to scare enough voters to portray Obama as kind of un-American and not like us. But that's to win an election. But short of that, I think what they're doing is they're doing the same thing they did to Clinton, which is setting up a scenario so that if he gets elected, because I think a lot of conservatives know Obama's going to win, that they basically make his life impossible. They make it ungovernable for him. So conservatives threw out so much dirt at Bill Clinton. There were so many bogus investigations and ridiculous conspiracy theories floating around that not only did the Clinton administration have to spend a lot of time dealing with this stuff, but they actually got roped into a lot of it at a congressional level. Now, clearly, if Obama wins, he's going to have a big Democratic majority, but so did Clinton when he won, too. And this kind of stuff started dragging him down. So I think a lot of it is just preparing to be the opposition. And you're going to hear a lot more of this stuff. It's going to be a lot nastier. But I think, you know, number one, Obama's physical safety was always a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got Secret Service protection very quickly. We've had presidents who have been assassinated not so long ago. And for them to show up at rallies and scream, "Kill him and traitor," I just think is deeply unsettling to so many people, not just Democrats, but just Americans, period. And I also think that when I hear this kind of rhetoric, I think to myself, if I was a Republican strategist, do I get one more new voter in the party, one more young voter, one more swing voter, one more reform voter, one more minority voter? And I think the answer is no. This is kind of the campaign for the 26% of people that believe George W. Bush is doing a good job as president.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a campaign this way.
Well, and I'm trying to read this because the corporate media has played some clips from McCain Friday and Saturday where he very tepidly pushes back on the mob a little bit. And he says, he damns Obama with faint praise, but he said, he's a decent man with a family. But he can't bring himself to say, you know, he's not a Muslim. He did turn to a woman and say he's not an Arab.
Yeah.
But he's not willing to denounce the very things that Sarah Palin has been imputing, implying, and delivering in every way except verbatim.
No, and the head of the Virginia Republican Party said over the weekend in one of his talking points to volunteers that to link Obama to Osama because they're both friends with terrorists. I mean, that is outrageous. And McCain was asked about it today, and he didn't just say flat out, "I condemn this remark." I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, if this is what the Republican Party wants to stand for, they're inclined to stand for it, but they're going to be a losing party for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Obama, I think, has figured out a way, and it seems to be working for the first time, to kind of appeal to people's better nature.
Yeah.
And I think the cynic in all of us says it's not going to work. He needs to attack. But at some point, the attacks stop working if they don't resonate with the issues of the day. And the issues of the day right now is not Bill Ayers or Jeremiah Wright or Arab terrorists. I mean, it's the economy. And McCain, every day he's not talking about the economy, I think he's losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, every day he's saying the fundamentals of our economy are strong, he's also losing.
Finally, Ari, I got about a minute here. Channels. I believe that the Republicans have tried to communicate with their base through the rallies and through the Internet, hoping that that stuff wouldn't bubble up into the corporate media. And that's why McCain didn't bring up Ayers, didn't bring up Reverend Wright or any of this junk face-to-face with Obama in the last debate.
Yeah, well, clearly they hoped that other people would touch it before they did, but then they started touching it, too. So you got this weird thing where Sarah Palin is telling voters in Florida the day before the debate that the gloves are going to come off. And then John McCain gets in the debate, and he can't seem to utter any of the words that his campaign has been uttering. And then afterwards, Barack Obama and Joe Biden are basically talking. taunting McCain, saying, if you're going to say it to our faces.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of?
Right.
And so then it thus makes McCain look weak and dumb in the process. So I think he either has to really decide, is he going to run with this stuff or is he not going to run with it? He can't have it both ways.
Ari Berman, TheNation.com. Thanks, Ari. Good to talk to you today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Appreciate it. Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, joins me next right here.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Dow comes roaring back.
Its biggest one-day gain in history.
Barack Obama wants a moratorium on foreclosures.
We need to give people the breathing room to get back on their feet.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Today, they didn't want it to stop. As the closing bell rang, stocks were rising at a furious pace. The Dow ended 936 points higher at 9,387, the largest one-day point gain in its history and one of the largest percentage gains, 11%. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says Wall Street likes the bold moves of European governments to shore up their banks and the U.S. government's plans.
It is huge news for the market that the government is going to actually have ownership stakes in a number of troubled banks, because this is going to immediately begin to unfreeze these credit markets. And once we start seeing banks lending to each other, they'll be willing to lend to businesses and consumers, and we can start to rebuild the stock market.
Assistant Treasury Secretary Neel Kashkari is in charge of the $700 billion rescue plan.
The law empowers Treasury to design and deploy numerous tools to attack the root cause of the current turmoil, the capital hole created by illiquid, troubled assets.
He told a banker's conference today that officials are moving quickly but methodically. Treasury Secretary Paulson called the heads of major banks to a meeting in Washington this afternoon. Reportedly, the government will use up to $250 billion to buy stock in banks. On Capitol Hill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi met with a group of economists today, getting their ideas on a second stimulus package.
Our country is at a very challenging moment, and we need the best thinking in our country to address those concerns.
She's talking in terms of $150 billion. The White House doesn't rule it out, but says there's a lot of stimulus already working its way through the economy. Now this.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend, for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
Barack Obama and John McCain spent the day on the stump, Obama launching an economic initiative. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Obama went to Toledo to propose his new economic plan.
For each new employee you hire, you are going to get a tax break.
He's hoping the ideas will help keep him ahead in Ohio.
Today I'm also proposing a three-month moratorium on foreclosures.
McCain went to North Carolina and Virginia, both states he's in danger of losing.
We're 6 points down. The national media has written us off.
But he said he hasn't lost yet.
They forgot to let you decide. We've got them just where we want them.
Though even some Republicans are skeptical. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Their final debate is Wednesday night.
I'm Barry Bagnato on Main Street in Girard, Pennsylvania, where Ron Platz's little shop, Carpets for Less, has been struggling lately.
We're used to selling 3-4 jobs a day, and all we're doing now, we're lucky if we sell 3 a week.
Tax breaks for job creation and retirement account withdrawals, $60 billion worth of Obama proposals.
Well, I don't understand what, you know, where's he going to get all this from?
Platz, a longtime Republican angered over huge deficits and the financial bailout plan, says despite his misgivings, everyday people like him need help.
I'm going to vote. I'm probably leaning toward voting for Obama just to see what he can do.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Girard, Pennsylvania.
One Los Angeles fire official calls it a blowtorch. The Santa Ana wind is fanning two big wildfires on the edges of the San Fernando Valley.
The fire is going to attempt to move across these foothills and could potentially expose thousands of homes.
Battalion Chief David Carolan.
Very serious, very serious. This is has potential to be a major disaster right now.
Several dozen mobile homes have already been consumed by the flames. More than 1,000 people have evacuated, and at least 2 deaths are blamed on the fires. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
What's a 4-letter word for retirement? SAVE. But how much will you need? FINRA's retirement calculator can help. FINRA's the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's FINRA.org.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, the Majority Leader of the California Assembly will join us, Alberto Torrico. We're going to talk about the mess in Sacramento and Arnold begging for a bailout. Later this week, the Peter B. Collins Show on the road, Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be originating from the Motor City at Detroit's progressive talk station, WDTW. And I'll be off on Friday. Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in for me as I fly down I-75 right past Cliff Schechter's house to visit my mom on the occasion of her 85th birthday. And it always times out the same way because my oldest brother was born on her 25th birthday, so he's turning 60, and we're going to have a big gathering of the clan. And then I'll be back here in California a week from today on Monday. Cliff Schechter, of course, is the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him, and something like that. And independents shouldn't. There it is. And he hails from Columbus, Ohio these days. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
How's Columbus today?
Very nice. Perfect weather. Low 80s, no humidity.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's been very nice this part of the country right now.
Take Doug down by the Olin Tangy and dangle a toe?
There you go, exactly. Went for a nice walk outside with the big red wagon. Knocked over some Republican lawn signs, you know.
Oh, good. You know, know, I was lost in Sonoma County on Saturday, and I have not seen that many McCain-Palin signs, here in California. There's a hotbed of conservatism up there. I didn't realize. So
you did or you didn't see that many?
Oh, I saw quite a few.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm not this area. I'm in. We used to be much more conservative. The inner suburbs of Columbus have become much more progressive, and I'm just outside of them, and this mm-hmm. area is really, really moving in a progressive direction because it used to be very different, but the ground is shifting.
Well, I'll reveal. I was going to a harvest party at the Heinemann Estate, and that's north of St. Helena in the Napa Valley. Beautiful place. And I was into my fifth or sixth, we were just tasting, of course, Cabernet, when the grandson of Chief Justice Earl Warren arrived. And
wow.
Jeffrey Warren is an interesting guy. I've known him for about 15 years. I haven't seen him in quite a while. And we shared a little conversation. He was telling me how much he loves Sarah Palin and thinks she's great for the ticket. He told me that, you know, victory is within our grasp in Iraq. And he's just a total soldier for McCain, and I was floored because in my conversations with him in the past, he was working to defend Earl Warren's legacy. And,
Earl Warren's legacy, that's amazing to me. Earl Warren was, you know, I mean, I'm not saying everything he did was perfect, but
yeah.
He was a pretty moderate to liberal Republican, and quite frankly, you know, as a Supreme Court justice, I mean, you know, his legacy is what created progressive jurisprudence for this the last half century.
Yeah, well, you know,
everything they want to undo started with Warren, quite, you know.
Well, you know, they have this thing called generation skipping trusts,
yeah.
And I think in this case something else skipped the generation. Anyway,
two points, perhaps.
I invited Jeff Warren to come on the show and explain his ravings about McCain and Palin, and he just might do that. So we'll see in the coming.
And ironically enough, you know, you may remember from history that, you know, Eisenhower put him on the court and thought that he was going a little bit too quickly
mm-hmm.
and wished, you know, he regretted putting him on the court because he didn't want social change to happen that quickly.
Well, and just one more step back, the deal was that Earl Warren got out of the presidential race against Dwight Eisenhower in exchange for the Supreme Court appointment.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, he was a governor, you know, governor of California. But what I find very interesting is that Eisenhower's upset because Earl Warren was going too quickly.
Right.
Yet, you may remember, Eisenhower's granddaughter spoke at the Democratic convention.
Yes, she did.
Big Obama supporter.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the Eisenhower chain has moved in the right direction, whereas the Warren seems to have gone a little bit backwards.
Good point. Cliff Schechter with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. So, Cliff, today is the first day that I have some regret that liberal whining activists tried to stop the New York Times from hiring William Kristol as an op-ed columnist. Did you see it?
I haven't read that. I saw him this weekend. I was flipping around the channel, so I saw him say on Fox that essentially the same thing. And I know he said it. I know what he said today. I mean, I read some people who wrote about it, which is
let me favor you here with a couple of juicy quotes. It's time for John McCain. This is the opening line: to fire his campaign. He has nothing to lose. His campaign is totally overmatched by Obama's. That team is well-organized, flush with resources. The candidate and the campaign are in sync. The McCain campaign, once merely problematic, is now close to being out-and-out dysfunctional. Its combination of strategic incoherence and operational incompetence has become toxic.
Fun stuff, isn't it? You may remember that that Kristol himself was one of the first conservative voices who was saying, you know, months before the vice presidential pick, he was bringing this name out of nowhere, Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Who luckily none of us had ever heard of at that point in time, and saying she could be the dark horse, and he was pushing for her as a reformer and all the other things that she really isn't. And he's also the one who said that McCain should be hitting on the air stuff harder and not holding back. So I'm not really sure how Kristol is able to criticize a campaign. It seems to be following his advice.
Wait. That's the old Bill Kristol.
Oh, right.
Today's Bill Kristol says, this suggests the failure of the McCain campaign's attacks on Obama. He cites some ratings and polls, and he says, so drop them. Not because they're illegitimate. I think many of them are reasonable. Obama's relationship with Wright is, I believe, a legitimate issue, but McCain ruled it out of bounds, and yada, yada, yada. So these guys are, they're inflating the lifeboats and covering their behinds.
Well, that's pretty much what they do. And, Bill Kristol is essentially a wing of the Republican Party over there, the New York Times. I don't think anything he writes really is meant as an analysis, true analysis. Everything he writes is something that's meant to forward the message of the Republican Party. He's their outpost there. I may not like everything Brooks writes, but I think he actually at least thinks about it sometimes before he writes it. Although, if you want to compare the conservatives, it's nice that those are the conservatives of the New York Times, and then we have this guy Paul Krugman, who just seems to have won some sort of a prize. I can't think of what it's called. Oh, yeah, that's right, Nobel Prize. Right. Yeah, that's what happens when you're progressive and you write for the New York Times. When you're a Republican who writes for the New York Times, you advise picking Sarah Palin.
Now,
so everybody can see the difference there.
Forgive me here, but I didn't hear about this. Is this true? Krugman has won the Nobel Prize for Economics?
He certainly has. He was told this morning, and I've read about it in a few places and actually heard him interviewed on NPR today.
Good for him. Oh, that's great.
It is. It's good to see somebody who obviously is quite a bright man, to put it.
And just a quick excerpt. I interviewed him a few years back, and I asked him a question and his answer surprised me. I said, have you ever been spiked at the New York Times? And he said, yes. He said, when I first started writing the op-ed column in 2000, I called Bush a liar, and they wouldn't let me print it.
Wow, interesting. Wouldn't let him use the L word, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's what I've liked about him. I don't think he started off as a dark doctrinaire liberal. I think he came to his conclusions through taking a look at Bush and what Bush was doing, and through his economic analysis and other things. And so that's why I like him more than most. I don't think he came from the ideology. He came to liberal politics because, let's face it, this is a generational thing where they screw everything up like they did during the 80s, and we have to come in the 90s and clean it up, and here we go again.
Yeah. We've got Carol on the line from Eureka. Hello, Carol. You're on the PBC show with Cliff Schechter.
Hi, Peter. Just thought I have something interesting to let you know. Eureka here is a pretty, you've been here, it's a quite liberal, open-minded, very politically astute area. There's a lot of political signs. And over the weekend, someone stole all of the Obama signs and almost all of the No on AIDS signs.
And they're not likely collectors.
No. And my neighbor actually saw it in action, has the license number of some of the people. I've notified all the media and got minimal reaction. But, you know, it isn't the point of it's Obama sign. It's that if they had taken all the McCain signs, I would have been upset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a right to have signs in our yards, and there is not an Obama sign in Eureka, California at this point.
Wow. Carol,
it's gone.
Carol, do you want to play tipster here? You want to identify the truck and the license plate?
You know, I don't have a license plate with me. I'm in my car, but the police and the media all know it.
Okay. And what kind of truck was it? Do you know the...
It was a black... The neighbor said he thought it was a black Honda with three men in it, and he saw them remove the sign from my yard. I said, no problem. I've got another Obama sign. I'll just go get it. Then when I came out, I saw my No on H sign gone, too.
Oh,
and then on Sunday, my partner and I rode our bikes all around town and didn't see one Obama sign or one No on H sign. So there's obviously, you know, some idiots trying to make a point.
Yep, self-righteous people. You know, it's okay for them to trespass on your property and deny you your free speech rights because they don't...
I feel bad because this isn't the kind of community. We're very open, very politically aware, very accepted community, and this should be happening here.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Good to hear from you today. I appreciate the call. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. Cliff Schechter, it's remarkable. We talked about Bill Kristol, Ed Rollins, who I describe as a knuckle-dragging, very hardball Republican political consultant.
Yeah.
After all, he worked for Michael Huffington here in California.
He did. Okay. That was, I think, one of the last campaigns he worked on.
Yeah, you want to, it defines Craven.
He worked for Ross Perot.
So we've got Ed Rollins dissing the McCain campaign, saying it's over, saying that the heirs thing is a trivial matter when big issues are at play. And Ralph.
He actually used the L word. He said landslide.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to, I would never get overconfident and frankly be happy to win by two electoral votes, but a landslide would be nice. He said that. Who else? Krauthammer also wrote that he thought it was over.
Well, and Ralph Reed has stepped up to criticize the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if all these polls are accurate, but I do know, when you look at enough of them, you know they're accurate, but there have only been a few, let's say, in West Virginia. But you know that when it gets to the point where Sarah Palin has to fly into West Virginia, the Obama people haven't run any media there. I'm sure some of it spilled over over from the Ohio market and Pennsylvania market into parts of West Virginia, but they haven't run it in the main media market there in Charleston. And suddenly it's a dead heat, and some polls are even showing Obama winning. So suddenly they have to fly in there. The other polls are showing Obama within 4 or something of that sort in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
of another place where he was originally campaigning and pulled his ads, and he pulled his staff also another place that was not traditionally Democratic, North Dakota, where a poll came out today showing Obama up too. Now, I think that's probably off to a certain degree, but the fact is that if it's even within the margin of error, that means Obama could be down a couple points there. So mm-hmm. they're looking at defending, at this stage of the game, Georgia and North Dakota and West Virginia.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. You got a question or comment about the campaign and Bill Kristol? Okay, bring it on. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Desiree, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all of your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 374-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Good afternoon. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Currently in Monterey, there is an incident to report. There is a traffic collision on Blanco Road at Cooper Road. An ambulance is responding. Otherwise, it's smooth sailing in King City, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, so please enjoy your commute. Here are the temperatures for the Central Coast this afternoon. King City is 69 degrees and sunny. Salinas is 77 degrees. Monterey is currently 75 degrees. Santa Cruz, 65 degrees. Hollister, 75 degrees, and 78 degrees in Gilroy. And that's your traffic and weather report on AM 540. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Number one export from Ohio is corn. Number two export, Devo.
Correct and real. Give the mass a slip. Step on the grill. Break your mama's back. When a problem comes along, you must rip it before the creep is not too long. You must rip it.
We continue with Cliff Schachter, the author of The Real McCain, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Cliff, I got a little treat for you and our listeners. And if I have this correct, this was lifted from an Air America show hosted by Sam Cedar and Mark Maron. But it's a spoof commercial. And it ties up a lot of the smear attempts that have been launched recently. And it's called McCain's Most Racist Ad Yet. And see if Mr. Collins is able to bleep out the F-bomb midway through, okay?
This is the most important presidential election of our lifetime, and some of you are still undecided. Let's have some straight talk. We've tried to convince you that Barack Obama is inexperienced. We've tried to convince you that Barack Obama is a terrorist.
Fist bump.
We've tried to convince you that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim.
The Kenya photo.
We're done with trying to convince you. Let's be honest. Barack Obama is black. Black! My friends, think about it. A black president? Come on.
Now, this is where I have to be careful. I did a YouTube F-bomb last week, and I'm still recovering.
Some things don't need to be changed.
I'm John McCain.
A white guy.
And I approve this message.
Now, it's funny, and I give Maron and Cedar credit. That's a good one. But it does underscore what's really going on. All this other stuff is code language to remind frightened white voters that Barack Obama is not one of us.
Yeah, that's pretty much been the game plan. And, I mean, the GOP's been doing that for a good year now, maybe longer. Those silly emails going around and the pictures of him in the, you know, Somali headdress and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's the game. I mean, they definitely conclude that's the only way they can win. So they'll try it with anything that reminds you that he's black. They'll try it with, you know, they'll put his face in a commercial with an African-American executive of Fannie Mae.
Right.
You know, even though they could have put out a commercial and said that Obama was one of the biggest, accepted one of the largest amounts of money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which would have actually been true in terms of campaign contributions. Instead, they chose to put a guy's face in a commercial with him, who he talked on the phone with and in person with, I think, for a couple minutes at a time, because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they're doing that. They're doing any way they can, you know, get the Hussein in there. I mean, they have a guy in a full, you know, in his sheriff's uniform get up in Florida and then say Barack Hussein Obama. That didn't remind anybody of Jim Crow South. I'm not sure what does.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely trying, but it's amazing. I'm really sort of proud to be an American right now.
But in Columbus, how's it playing in the unemployed white suburbs?
It's not playing well at all, and I go around a lot and talk to people as much as I can, and really have found it interesting that there are a lot of people who, you know, they've gotten the message that they, you know, from the McCain campaign that Obama's different and all of that, and I think there's some people that were kind of on the fence, but the economic turmoil threw them right off the fence into Obama's camp, and they're willing to give him a try.
Let's talk to Deborah at Carmel by the Sea. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Mr. Schachter, I wanted to pass along, if you were unaware, that here in Monterey County, we had a huge military base closed, Fort Ord.
Mm-hmm.
And the local paper, which you could access through www.montereyherald.com, had an update yesterday. And what it explains is how Senator McCain, a number of years ago, when he sat on a key committee, helped the largest developer from Arizona, a gentleman by the name of Diamond.
Don Diamond, yeah. Yeah. Like it's Don, isn't it? It's definitely Diamond.
Yeah.
Correct. Get some sweetheart deals. The reporting yesterday on the 12th in my Herald, through a FOIA, was able to nail down a few more facts.
Mm.
And this originally started out with the New York Times on April 22nd of this year.
And I still have that clipping. Deborah, would you forward me the link from the Herald? Because I'd love to read that myself.
It's I have no technology, but it's
Well, I'll go online and find it myself. Wish we had more time for more of your comments, but I'm out of time. Cliff, thank you very much for joining us. Deborah, thanks for the call. And Cliff, I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks so much, Peter.
And if we didn't get to you, call back in the Free Speech Zone next hour. I want to hear your comments. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. This program's produced by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Negative campaigning works, except when it doesn't. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Sarah Palin has been using Barack Obama's connection to former 60s bomber William Ayers to accuse him of palling around with terrorists. And they've got that scary ad.
Ayers and Obama ran a radical education foundation together.
That radical education foundation was founded by Walter Annenberg, lifelong Republican, whose widow actually supports John McCain. And the radical ideas they funded included African-American studies, which I suppose was radical maybe 30 years ago.
But Obama's friendship with terrorist Ayers isn't the issue.
No, of course not. The people who made that ad don't want you to think for a moment that Obama has anything to do with terrorism. But for some reason, a few people in McCain's audiences seem to think there is a connection.
I have read about him. He's an Arab. He is not. No.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with.
And that appears to be the problem. McCain's advisors told him that to win, he had to go negative, but he is not comfortable with it. There's part of him that's too honorable for it. Conservative William Kristol wrote in the New York Times today that McCain needs to junk his negative campaign and start being more cheerful. The trouble is, he's already approved the spots.
Barack Obama, too risky for America.
What you going to do? Say never mind? Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval, providing immediate government compliance. Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
On July 1st, Carmel's beloved cartoonist Bill Bates had a heart attack. He's been in intensive care for months. The good news is Bill's beginning to recover. But Bill and his family face a long, hard pull ahead, and they need our spiritual and financial support. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please send a check made out to Friends of Bill Bates, at P.O. Box 146, Carmel, 93921.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor electric guitars and progressive politics. You can share a podcast of any portion of our program with a friend or just somebody you know. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Well, normally this time of year in Sacramento, they're enjoying the fall colors. The heat wave is behind us. The budget is behind us. And usually the legislators turn their eyes toward elections because it is election season. But there is no rest in Sacramento this fall. Right now we're going to meet the Assembly's Majority Leader, Democrat Alberto Torrico. He is the legislator from Fremont. He's in his second term, so he gets to run this November, and then he's done, or has to move his way up the food chain. Mr. Torrico, welcome to our program today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Peter. Really appreciate it.
Now, I got to practice this. You say Torrico, right?
Torrico, yes.
And I just put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and I've been practicing. Torrico, si.
No big deal.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And just before we get down into some of the nuts and bolts there, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're an attorney. You went to Hastings. And how did you get involved in electoral politics?
Well, right after I got out of law school, I went to work for a law firm in Oakland called the Van Borg Law Firm, the largest union-sided labor firm in the country. And I represented unions with them for about 5 or 6 years. And through my work with the labor movement, I made a lot of friends, but I also got a greater understanding of how difficult it is for young families, middle-class families, to make ends meet in today's California and national economy. And one day, you know, my wife and I we had just moved to Newark from Southern California. I had grown up in Fremont. And we just thought that that the Newark City Council maybe needed a different voice, somebody younger. Most of the members on the council had been on there for 15, 20 years, and there was a right-wing conservative person on the council that I thought was totally out of touch given our demographics. Most of us are Democrats in Newark, large number of Latinos and Asians. I just thought that it was time for somebody different, so I decided to run. She moved out of town. Coincidentally, I ended up running for that seat. There was about 7 or 8 of us, and I ended up being elected by 32 votes. Mm. That was back in 2001, and in 2004 I got recruited by most of the local elected Democrats in the area to run for the assembly. I was very reluctant to do that. I had started my own private practice. My wife and I just bought a new home. Our son was just, at that time, by then he was 3. So it was a very difficult decision. But again, you know, the party, local elected officials, the labor movement and others asked me to run. So I said I would consider it. I'd start the campaign. And if there was support there, I would do it. And we ended up, you know, I ended up running. I ended up winning the primary with 4 other Democratic candidates by about 3% or 1,200 votes. And, and then the legislature ever since.
Is this the old Corbett seat or the Dutra seat?
The Dutra seat. I replaced Dutra. John Dutra when he was termed out.
Okay. Well, and that's quite a seat change because he was a pro-business Democrat and you're a pro-labor Democrat.
Well, you know, there are some differences between John and I. I think the one thing that John, Ellen, and all Democrats, we all agree on is that we need to have a vibrant economy. We need to have an economy that creates quality jobs to lift more people up into the middle class. I think we all share that. But, sure, I'm more slanted towards the labor movement and employees and workers because of not only my background as a labor attorney, but also my upbringing and my parents. You know, both of my parents are union members now and have been union members for a long time. So, you know, this is a little different perspective, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. I've been a member of my union and served on the national board over the years, and I think labor has a very important role to play. Sometimes it goes too far. I take exception to some of the antics of the CCPOA, the Prison Guards Union in this state. But, you know, in general, I think that organized labor is a good thing, and that when it advocates for its members, in
general, labor is advocating for the interests of all working families and working people in this country. And just one other quick note, you've got one of those real fancy offices in the old wing of the building there at the Capitol, right?
I will. As Speaker Nunes, who is termed out this year, will be moving out of that office in the next few weeks. And on December 1st, when I get sworn in for my last term, I'll be moving into that office. That's right, in the old, under the rotunda, that's right.
Yeah, those are the neat ones, and you get out of those shoebox-size offices in the new wing of the building. Well, I want to get down to business here and talk about the mess. And let me approach it this way, Mr. Leader, because it strikes me that the Republican minority that imposed its will on the people of California this year has a greater allegiance to Grover Norquist than they do to the interests of the citizens of this state or even their own Republican governor. And it really distresses me that they were permitted to hold up the budget for a total of 85 days. And we now see the ripple effect of that because we have a budget that is smoke and mirrors and chewing gum and baling wire, and it hasn't even held up in the 30 days since it was passed and the governor signed it. And now we're going to go into some revisions. And most critically, the 85-day delay caused the state treasurer to go out into the short-term borrowing markets at a time when funds were not available, when essentially we have a credit freeze in this country and in some ways around the world. And I believe that the Republicans are squarely responsible for this, and frankly, I fault the Democrats for not making enough of an issue out of what they have done to us.
Well, I think, you know, you brought up a lot of important points. Let me just start by saying that in Sacramento, I think that we're all culpable to some extent. I'll start with the governor. The governor started his term, started his campaign to replace Gray Davis, saying some fundamental things, that he would be different, that he would not be beholden to any special interest, and he didn't need to raise money because he was self-made millionaire. 4 years later, he's raised the most money any politician in the history of the state has ever raised. And if you look at his veto record, it's clear that he is beholden to special interests, particularly big business.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that he said when he ran for office was that he would clean up the fiscal mess and that he would cut the credit card. And he did it with much bravado, and he did it with a lot of props, and he had that giant credit card with those giant scissors, and he cut up the credit card. Well, lo and behold, now, 4 years later, we have amassed the greatest debt this state's ever seen, largely because of the governor's unwillingness to look at other alternatives than borrowing and cuts to balance our budget. So I think the governor carries much of the burden. Second, as you mentioned, the Republicans, they are more beholden to Grover Norquist. As you know, Peter, every Republican in the legislature, except for one, has signed a pledge the last 2 years not to raise taxes under any circumstances, not to raise revenue under any circumstances, no matter how dire they may be. So if we were to have an earthquake in California that would affect millions of residents, they wouldn't raise taxes. If we had levy failure in California, in Central California, they wouldn't raise taxes. If we would have, an $18 billion deficit and an economy in a terrible recession, again, they refuse to raise taxes. They refuse even to ask those in California that benefit the most from our way of life, the millionaires, people making $250,000 or more in taxable income. We're talking about income after all the deductions, after everything's taken off, taxable income, straight net income, they still refuse to institute or reinstitute, quite frankly, the Reagan tax bracket, which Ronald Reagan, Pete Wilson, George Duke-Majan, all Republican governors, they created an upper income tax bracket on a temporary basis, raising multimillionaires' taxes by 1-2%, thereby literally taking the state out of our economic doldrums. So I think the Republicans hold us hostage every year because, as your listeners, I'm sure, are well aware, California is only one of three states in the whole country that requires a supermajority vote for a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have had, in effect, since I've been there for 4 years, is a Republican budget, a budget that six Republicans could vote for in the legislature. That's what we have been forced to enact because the alternatives are dire. If we were to not pass a budget, then basically government would shut down. And who would be affected by it? Well, all of us would be affected because we wouldn't be able to continue to manage our roads and to build roads and to all of the functions of the state, the DMV, the state parks, everything that a state does. But more importantly, you know, the state, we are required, and I think responsible, morally responsible for kids that are foster children, for seniors that can't take care of themselves, for the severely disabled and handicapped. Where else are we supposed to send all of these Californians? Of course, I believe, and I think most Democrats would agree, as a state, we have a responsibility to give them a dignified a living arrangement, and those people would be thrown out on the streets without a budget. So that has been our dilemma. Now, let me just say, I told you that all of us are to blame. Let me tell you that I agree with you, that as Democrats, we haven't done a couple of things. Number one, we haven't gone out in public, and we haven't basically exposed the Republicans for their tactics and for their lack of compassion for other Californians or for their lack of vision. And number two, which is something that I have advocated for since I've been there, but I have not been successful in getting my colleagues to go along, which is this. Call a Republican bluff. They don't want to pass our budget, a Democratic budget that balances our deficit by doing two things, half of the deficit through cuts, half of the deficit through new revenues. Mm-hmm. Every Republican governor has done that. We have proposed that repeatedly, not a single Republican vote. Then I think we should say to the Republicans, fine, put up your budget for a vote, and let's see how many votes you have. Interestingly enough, this year, the governor wanted us to vote, put up his budget for a vote, which is an all-cuts and borrowing budget. Again, we were ready to put that budget up for a vote. The governor discovered that it had exactly zero votes, not a single Democrat, not a single Republican. That's why the governor's budget was never voted on, mm-hmm. because it had no support. And I would suspect that the Republicans, although they talk a lot about cuts and a lot about the waste in government, they didn't want to pass a budget with all cuts. They didn't want to cut education. They didn't want to throw seniors on the streets. So I don't even believe that their own budget that they talked about privately would have garnered any Republican votes. So they have not put any proposal on the table. We haven't forced them to as Democrats, and I just think it's time for us to be more aggressive, as you alluded to, more aggressive in exposing who they are. And, you know, look, you started the segment by saying we're in campaign season. You bet we're in campaign season. And our objective today is between this election in 2008 and the election in 2010, we want to get the 54 votes in the state assembly to basically say to the Republicans, we will work with you in a bipartisan fashion. We will be happy to do that. But we will no longer let the Republicans hold California hostage for 6 votes on a budget that makes cuts and affects kids and affects seniors and throws the disabled on the streets. We had people all over the state during our budget impasse, literally, seniors and people that are sick in hospitals and in hospices, literally people dying all over the state because of our budget, because of our inability to pass a budget, and because of the Republicans' insistence mm-hmm. on an all-cuts budget, no new revenues. That's where we are as a state. You know, and I've always said that the discussion of the budget has been misguided for all of us. The budget, in my opinion, is a policy statement. The policy statement is, what are your priorities? I believe that as Democrats, we must pass a budget that puts two things as priority. Number one, the future. That means our kids. We have to fully invest in education. When my parents came to this country as immigrants, community college was free. The CSU and the UC system was affordable to every Californian. Mm-hmm. That is no longer the case. We are turning kids away from our higher education system. That has to stop. 3 years from now, we will spend more money on prisons than higher education in California. That's community college, CSU, UC system combined.
Right.
We will spend more on prisons. That is an aberration. That's why I introduced the constitutional amendment to end that aberration. And I hope that I can get it to the governor next year and get it on the ballot so people can vote on that and make education a priority. That's, first of all, our future. And mm-hmm. second of all, who are we as a state? What do we represent? What do we stand for? Certainly, I think that, you know, Republicans like to quote scripture. I like to quote scripture, too. The scripture tells us that we're supposed to take care of the least among us. The least among us are seniors, our kids, our foster kids, our disabled. We are supposed to take care of them. That's what our budget should do. We should take care of people that can't take care of themselves. And those are the values that we should be talking about as Democrats. But we haven't done a good enough job of that. We haven't convinced the public. I think the public doesn't see much difference between the two parties. But let me assure everyone, there are vast differences between the parties, mm-hmm. and we hope to prove that by taking at least 2 or 3 seats this cycle, taking another 2 or 3 next cycle, and reaching the magic 54 votes.
We're going to take a break and return with Alberto Torrico. He is the incoming Assembly Majority Leader, a Democrat in Sacramento. He represents citizens in the East Bay of San Francisco in the Fremont area. If you'd like to talk with him, lines available right now. Call me toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Get
Good afternoon. This is Via Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Currently in Monterey, there is a traffic collision with minor injuries on Blanco Road at Cooper Road. An ambulance is currently responding. Taking a look at Santa Cruz on southbound Highway 1 at Harkins Slough Road, there is plywood in the middle lane. Temperatures this afternoon on the Central Coast are King City, 69 degrees, Salinas, 77 degrees, Monterey, 75 degrees, Santa Cruz, 65 degrees, Hollister, 75 degrees, and Gilroy, 78 degrees and sunny. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambley, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank Charles in Monterey. Just emailed me with a link to the article from the Herald about John McCain's buddy Don Diamond. We got a sweetheart deal on some land at Fort Ord. Bought it for a quarter mil. Sold it for $18 million 2 years later. Ain't capitalism beautiful when you have friends, my friend? We continue now with Alberto Torrico. He is the Assembly's incoming majority leader. I'm not calling him a girly man.
Look at California. Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
Girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man.
That's Luce Bruce. By day, he is a corporate lawyer in Silicon Valley. And at night, he writes wacky songs like that. And, Assemblyman, as you look at Governor Schwarzenegger's legacy here, he's on his way out at the end of the next year. One of the things that he's tried to work on is redistricting. There's a second ballot measure since he became governor that voters will approve or disapprove this November. And I'm not going to get bogged down in the details of which proposal is better, but one of the problems faced is that, for example, right now, just before the break, you talked about the need to defeat some Republicans and get more seats for Democrats so that we don't have a problem getting the supermajority for a budget next year. But fundamentally, that's not going to happen because the districts are so heavily gerrymandered that it takes a near miracle for someone who wins the primary to lose the general election.
Well, that's true. I mean, the problem is that last redistricting, you know, I think it's fair to call it a scheme, in the year 2000 was one designed to protect every incumbent and incumbent party. And,
right, the Burton plan.
Yeah, and we've seen that. I mean, we've had exactly in California in the last 4 to 6 years, there's 153 legislative districts in California. A grand total of one has changed parties in the last 4 years, and that was Jerry McNerney, Steve, when he took out Pombo just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So that you know, when you have a system like that, it shows a couple of things. Number one, clearly the system is broken, but number two, it really does make the public lose confidence in all of us that are elected in our election system at its core.
Mm-hmm.
I've been supportive of a redistricting proposal. It takes the redistricting process out of our hands in Sacramento. I think that makes the most sense. But we have to do it in a way that assures that the proper interests are taken care of. What do I mean by that? The current proposal is going to be people can apply to be on the commission, and it's going to be an equal mix of Republicans and Democrats, which doesn't make any sense. There would be gridlock in that panel, and it doesn't make any sense given the demographics of California. There are more Democrats than Republicans, so it doesn't really seem to me that we should be worried. We should be focused on the parties. We should be focused on people that actually have expertise and represent different communities. I know that most of the organizations representing people of color in California, MALDEF, NAACP, Asian groups, they all oppose the proposal because they believe that it's going to cut into the representation that's so hard fought by people of color all over the state. And I think most other groups that represent, you know, different interests are opposed as well. So I would hope that we can come back to the legislature. You know, there is some urgency, but the next redistricting will happen in 2012 after the census. So, you know, I'm hoping to introduce something to the Democratic caucus, either myself or with others, to put the redistricting in the hands of a truly bipartisan commission that represents all of the interests of California, which are wide, and both parties and independent voters. But doesn't, you know, we've tried judges. That doesn't work because, you know, most of the retired judges are Republican appointees. Most of them are white, older white males. Most people don't think they would properly reflect California's growing diversity. So we're going to try to come up with a mix that makes sense. But the proposal on the table now just doesn't make sense. We think it is going to result in more gridlock, if anything, at worst, at best. You know, the Republicans are going to be able to pick up seats, and it's just not something that we think is tenable at this point, given
the
demographics.
I hear you. That's why I said, you know, in principle, I support the governor's identification of the problem. I haven't seen either of the two proposals that really worked for me. Now, about 2 minutes remaining, Mr. Leader, and the governor has sent signals. First of all, he floated the need for a $7 billion short-term loan for California, and then the markets responded by downgrading our debt rating. So he's kind of backpedaling from that. But how do you see things rolling out over the next few months? Because clearly our revenues will continue to decline, and the budget that was passed after the 85-day battle really is not going to hold up through the end of this year.
We're in for some tough waters. I mean, most experts don't see this recession coming to an end. I think that the election of a new president, President Obama, I think is going to help. It's going to calm the markets. I think it's going to bring people back to invest in California and the country. I'm not sure what's going to happen at the state level because if we are not going to consider, as Republicans have insisted, any new revenues, we will continue to have a growing deficit. And if we have a growing deficit, we'll be totally unable to invest in infrastructure, physical, as well as our human infrastructure, which are our kids and their education. So I think we're headed for some pretty dark times in Sacramento. I hope that we can pick up seats. I hope that the public can start articulating more forcefully, and Democrats in the legislature also, to Republicans that the status quo is unacceptable and that we have to find a way to make more deeper cuts, find more efficiencies in government. We've done that. We should continue to do that. But at the end of the day, we're going to need to identify some new revenues, and I think that taxing those that a little bit more, like Ronald Reagan did at the upper income tax bracket, the rich of the rich, I think is the best way to do it. And let me just say one other thing that I want to say about, you asked me about the governor's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the governor, his first act, literally his first act as governor, was to repeal the vehicle license fee.
Right.
That is costing us $6 billion a year. We've had that in effect 3 years now. Our deficit today stands at $18 billion. He is solely responsible for our entire deficit by that one act. So I just want to remind people, when people wonder what happened, just look back on the governor's election and his first act, and that's why we're in the budget problems that we are. And to on top of that, all of the borrowing this governor has done, and I'm not talking just about the bonds. I'm mm-hmm. talking about operating, borrowing just to run our government on a day-to-day basis because of his lack of courage to bring in new revenue. This is why we're in the dire straits that we're in, and he's been unable to deliver a single Republican vote on any of his budgetary proposals.
Well, Mr. Leader, it's a pleasure to meet you. I wish you best in your new position. Alberto Torrico, he is the Democrat from Fremont. Nice to meet you, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime.
My pleasure.
Tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A dramatic reversal for the stock market today, with the Dow up 936 points to close at 9,387. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
The Dow soared more than 11%, the biggest single daily percentage gain in 75 years, although the Dow's still down 13% this month. The rally was sparked by a new wave of rescue plans for the global financial system. America's top bankers were called to a summit at the Treasury this afternoon, including executives from Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley, to hear the U.S. government's plan to buy ownership stakes in the banks to help unlock the credit markets.
Reportedly, as much as $250 billion of the $700 billion rescue package will be used to buy bank stock. President Bush will make a statement tomorrow morning after being briefed by his working group on financial markets.
Right now we face an immediate economic emergency, and that requires urgent action.
Barack Obama, campaigning in Ohio, called for a 90-day moratorium on foreclosures and allowing people to take up to $10,000 this year and next from their retirement accounts without penalty. On the stump in Virginia, John McCain talked about his opponent's lead in the polls.
Senator Obama is measuring the drapes and planning with Speaker Pelosi and Senator Reid to raise taxes, increase spending.
McCain said his campaign has been written off by the national media, but he's come from behind before. Wind-driven wildfires endanger lives and homes in the Los Angeles area. KNX Radio's Claudia Pescuda reports.
A fast-moving wildfire is burning in northwest Los Angeles County. Residents of the Porter Ranch area have been ordered to evacuate.
I'm very shaken up. Yeah. Never been through something like this.
Fire quickly burned through brush-filled hillsides, threatening homes. L.A. City Fire Captain Steve Ruda says this is a wind-driven fire.
You could have a million firefighters out here with a half a million water-dropping helicopters, but if the wind doesn't give us the break we need, we'll never catch it.
Claudia Pescuta, CBS News, Porter Ranch, California.
There's an even larger fire in the northeast end of the San Fernando Valley. General Motors says a metal stamping plant in Grand Rapids, Michigan will close. More from WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert.
The latest job cuts come as GM is looking everywhere it can to cut costs.
The Grand Rapids Metal Center was relatively far from GM's assembly plants, meaning high transportation costs, and many of its parts went into trucks which haven't been selling well. Just over 1,300 workers will lose their jobs when that plant closes its doors at the end of next year.
SUV production at the GM plant in Janesville, Wisconsin will come to a halt this year because of slow sales. The NBA confirms about 80 jobs will be eliminated, making it the first major U.S. sports league to react to the unsettled economy with cutbacks. This is CBS News.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX freight trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX trains move over 1 million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Some people promote a cause with a bumper sticker, but one young woman has her cause right on her photo ID. CBS's Jim Taylor has the story.
What's in a name? Ask the 19-year-old Asheville, North Carolina woman who says she has legally changed her name to CutoutDissection.com. It's to protest animal dissections in schools. Her new legal name is the web address for an anti-dissection page of the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals site. She is now an intern for PETA. She says while most of her family members do still call her Jennifer, the Asheville High graduate prefers to be called Cutout for short. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The man who walked into a flower shop in Modesto, California was friendly and polite. He said hello and good morning before he pulled a .45 caliber handgun and ordered the owner to lie face down on the floor. Police say the robber explained that he lost his job and needed to feed his family. He politely took the man's cash and jewelry and left the shop. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much information.
Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. And nary a rule to interfere with your free speech. If you're coherent and mostly in English, we'll probably talk to you. You can call with any viewpoint, any subject, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. But explicitly today, I am requesting a phone call from someone who lives in Seaside, California, in the Sun Bay Apartments and Condominiums. If you live in Seaside at Sun Bay Apartment Condos, call me right now, 888-5-PETER-B.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. mind shifting gear. When she gets lonely.
So you may ask, Peter B., why would you want to talk to somebody who lives in the Sun Bay Apartments or condominiums there at the former Fort Ord site along California's beautiful central coast, where there are almost as many golf courses as lettuce farms? And the reason is, as a listener pointed out last hour, the Monterey Herald has done some great work in advancing a story first published by the New York Times on April 22nd. And in my haphazard clipping and storing archiving system, I happen to have the New York Times article still here. And this is the story about how John McCain intervened to help his friend Donald R. Diamond. Mr. Diamond is an 80-year-old real estate developer, a lobbyist. He's a top fundraiser for McCain's presidential campaign. And I have not had a chance to read the entire Herald article. It was published on Sunday. But I have read this story from April in the New York Times. And it comes off as a kind of abusive relationship. And the abuser is Mr. Diamond. He acts like he owns John McCain. And he got John McCain in 1998 to write one of those letters from a United States senator to the office of the city manager in Seaside. And if you live outside the Central Coast area, Seaside's a small community. And I'll bet when they got a letter with that United States Senate embossed on the envelope and on the letterhead, they were kind of impressed. Impressed that Don Diamond has friends like John McCain, John Kyle, also a senator, and Colby, who is a Republican congressman from Arizona. So what John McCain did was grease the skids for Don Diamond, who was able to purchase this parcel of land, which includes the Sun Bay Apartments and condominiums. And they have a whole legacy going back to the savings and loan blowout of the 1980s. It's a 297-apartment complex in an attractive Spanish-style cluster, 24 acres bordering the Bayonet and Black Horse golf courses and the Seaside Highlands development. They were built in the 1980s. And when Fort Ord was closed, Don Diamond saw, if you'll forgive me, a diamond in the rough there. He bought this land, which was then appraised at $7.2 million, for chump change, $250,000. He held onto the parcel for a little over 2 years, sold it and the buildings on it for a profit estimated at more than $18 million. The Times said it was closer to $20 million. Apparently, he sold the whole thing for a total price of $30 million. And we don't know what his other equity contributions were besides the $250,000 down payment. But you can imagine that an $18 or $20 million profit 2 years with just a little help from his friend, my friends, John McCain. So if you know somebody who lives there, if you know some of the history of that area, that complex in particular, you're welcome to call the program this hour. Lines are open on other topics as well. We talked about the wave of Republicans who are jumping ship from the SS McCain Palin. And the notable one here is Bill Kristol in Monday's New York Times. This is William Kristol, the god of the neocons, editor of the Weekly Standard. A lot of lefties were upset when he was given the gig as an op-ed columnist at the New York Times. And he opens his column today saying it's time for John McCain to fire his campaign. He has nothing to lose. And keep in mind, as you heard Cliff Schechter say, Bill Kristol was one of the boosters for Sarah Palin as the VP pick. Bill Kristol was one of the people who said, hit him on Bill Ayers. And now Crystal is, well, he's all over the place in his arguments in the column. But his bottom line is that these attacks aren't working, so drop them. He said there's still enough doubts about Obama to allow McCain to win, but McCain needs to make his case and do so as a serious but cheerful candidate for times that need a serious but upbeat leader. McCain should stop unveiling gimmicky proposals every couple of days that pretend to deal with the financial crisis. He should tell the truth. We're in uncharted waters, no one's certain what to do, and no one knows what the situation will be on January 20th. But what we do know is that we could use someone as president who's shown in his career the kind of sound judgment and strong leadership we'll need to make it through the crisis. If I didn't know better, I thought he was endorsing Obama there. Anyway, it's very interesting. We also mentioned Ed Rollins, longtime Republican campaign consultant. Says it's over for McCain. Ralph Reed, the former Christian majority guy, he has sounded off too, said that the campaign's a mess and they're very concerned about exactly what's going to happen. So, I think that these are fascinating times, but like many others, I'm reluctant to get too excited, to get over optimistic. Because Wednesday night is the final debate. And after that, McCain and Palin essentially feel that they owe us no accountability. I mean, maybe McCain will call a news conference. We know Palin won't. And I believe that, well, it's hard to say because it does appear that they see the diminishing returns from the tactics they've been using. But they're so desperate. And the Republican operators from Karl Rove on down are so convinced that attack politics, divide politics, will work, that it's very hard for them to let go of those ideas. So I'd like to hear your comments. My lines are wide open for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Also, you may want to comment on the report that came out of the Alaska Legislative Commission late on Friday. It's been adequately covered in the newspapers, but aside from Rachel Maddow's coverage, which has been excellent on MSNBC, I have not seen a lot of follow-up on the very serious issues of her abuse of power, of her cronyism in appointing her friends and then getting them to lobby Monaghan, the public safety commissioner, to fire her former brother-in-law. And so the picture that emerges is of a really petty person who got elected governor and decided that the most important thing she could do would be to deliver payback to her sister's ex-husband. And I think it's important on many fronts, not the least of which is that Sarah Palin claims to be a reformer and a good government person and says that she welcomed the investigation. And then as soon as she was named to the ticket, she turned into one of these players. Hired a bunch of lawyers and spin meisters. And really, it's just been a lot of smoke and distraction ever since. And at the vice presidential debate, the one and only, Gwen Ifill did not even raise the Troopergate investigation and the other important issues related to Palin's brief tenure as the governor of Alaska. So if you have a comment on Sarah Palin, feel free to bring that on, too. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Here's Rita in Monterey. Thanks for calling, Rita.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I actually live here. I moved here right after Fort Ord closed,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of things that went through and a lot of things that didn't, and it seems to be the question was always, how am I going to make money out of this? And some of the contractors that came down and built houses were supposed to be like building sort of like budget McMansions and something,
mm-hmm.
and they were getting property cheap. And I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know that once they started, all you really needed was like $5,000 to get in on anything.
Really?
Well, of course, I really didn't have $5,000. I would have been there, too. But the thing of it is that once word got out that this is what was going on, the people were coming from everywhere. It's like they came out of the woodwork,
mm-hmm.
and they started offering, you know, some of these places started at $80,000 when you only needed $5,000 to put down, and people were offering double. And those houses that were like $80,000 back in 98 and 2000,
mm-hmm.
they're million-dollar homes now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happened. And, of course, you know, the people who were, the contractors were looking out for their buddies.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I do want to make a minor correction because Katrina culled the article, and the numbers are a little different from what I cited. Apparently, Diamond paid a dollar for the 50-year lease from the Army for the Sun Bay apartment complex, and then the appraised value of the Sun Bay complex and land in 96 was $21 million, and Diamond allegedly paid $10 million for it and then sold it for $28 million. So his net gain there with $10 million in play was about $18 million after a two-year period. And his good friend John McCain made that possible for him. So thanks for your call, Rita. Great to hear from you today. We'll take more calls as we continue. I'd like to hear from you in the Free Speech Zone, Sarah Palin, John McCain, the Republican attitude. Maybe you even want to talk about that guy, Barack Obama. Yeah, that one. My lines are open for you, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to...
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lapert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Currently in Monterey on Highway 56 at Vieira Canyon Road, there are defective traffic signals. Also, taking a look at Santa Cruz, there is a traffic collision on Roush at Airport. CHP is currently on the scene. It's a beautiful afternoon here on the Central Coast. Currently, temperatures in King City are 69 degrees. Salinas is 77, Monterey is 75, Santa Cruz is 65, Hollister is 75 degrees, and Gilroy is 78. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Got a couple of lines open for you in the free speed zone. Grab that fancy iPhone BlackBerry. 888-573-8372. Gina in Salinas. How are you today? Hi, Gina. I can hear you.
Oh, you can. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't say anything bad.
Oh, good.
Listen, is there a breakdown anywhere on the subprime loans? And could investors get those loans?
Well, yes. I don't have a breakdown.
And no, but I mean,
if somebody has. But I do know, for example, that if there were speculators who were buying houses over the last 5 years who were offered no-doc loans, 100% loans, and also balloon notes where they would pay interest only during the term of the mortgage. Did I lose you, Gina?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, good.
You know what? Having a little bit of experience with this, I bet the speculators were the only ones that got the real low loans.
It's hard to say.
On my experience.
All right, but Gina, look at the various factors, all right? My guess is that the investors put no money down, And that's how they got to these 100%, in some cases 110% loans. And I also think that sometimes they were able to use their personal credit and their equity in other properties without actually signing personal guarantees, so that a wealthy person could go to a bank and say, look at me, you know, I've got 6 properties, or, hey, I'm John McCain, I got 13, and I'm bankable. So I want to buy this house over here, but I'm buying it through a corporation or an LLC. And I do think that there were cases where people who were creditworthy were allowed to borrow on very favorable terms without becoming personally liable.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering is they're talking about all these first-time home buyers and all these poor people in black people, whatever the hell, you know, being the ones that's scamming the system.
Yeah.
I bet you nickel that didn't happen. I bet that poor group will be the ones that will lose their houses,
mm-hmm.
and the guys that got the low loans the first time will come in and get the low loan, pick up their houses.
Well, there's so many variables here, Gina, and I don't dispute what you're saying, but I can't quite chime in because I don't have enough information.
Yeah.
But I do think that there were a lot of people who went in to say, I want a 30-year fixed loan, and the loan officer or a mortgage broker sold them on a loan that paid more of a commission to that salesperson. And that they, you know, schmoozed people into these deals by saying, oh, don't worry, you can refinance. So just take this loan for now. You'll save money over the first 5 years. And, you know, when it's convenient for you, come on back in and we'll refinance you.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the Congress have any numbers to look at when they signed us up for $800 billion loan?
Well, I'll offer you two angles on that. One is Sam Farr was on our program on Friday.
I heard part of it.
I found him to be very honest, but also I found him confused.
Me too. He didn't sound like he could tell where he was at.
Yeah. And the other is Pete Stark, who was on our program early last week, a congressman from the East Bay here of San Francisco. He's a former banker.
And he's the guy who voted twice against the bailout, even when they porked him up with one of his favorite pet pieces of legislation, which is parity for mental health care in health insurance policies. So,
and he didn't take it. He didn't bite.
That's right.
Now, that's the kind of guys we need in. I don't care what we call them.
Well, I'm with you there. But to answer your question, I don't. One of the things that Stark said in his last speech before the second vote was that he didn't believe that most members had a clue about what they were voting on.
And I'm not sure that doesn't happen all the time.
Well, you're right about that.
Because they have their little clerks right out of college reading everything for them,
mm-hmm.
and coming up with conclusions, and they don't have a clue.
Right, and they also don't have time. They're often given a piece of legislation and expected to vote on it minutes later.
Yep.
This whole bailout package was only available for 12 hours before they had to vote on it the first time. Gina, thank you very much. I got to run to a break. We'll take more calls here in the Free Speech Zone, but first you have to call me. 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures, serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
And protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable.
call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and our program today is brought to you by James Siebert of Willits. A listener of the Peter B. Collins Show, he responded to our request for help. Free speech zone here at Radio Nowhere, the PBC show. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And James Siebert, I don't know if he's ever called the program before, but I went to my post office box over the weekend, and he and others, who will be named later, were kind enough to reach out and offer their help. And I have to say, as somebody who's been in commercial radio for a long time, it's a little awkward to ask listeners to help us keep the program on the air. But one person who responded said, you know, Peter, Amy Goodman asked for contributions to support her program on community radio and on Link TV, or Free Speech TV. I'm not sure which one she's on. And he said, we support NPR and they have pledge drives. And so I really appreciate the way people have responded. And this economy has hit me very hard. And it's making it difficult to keep the show going. We are committed to stay on the air through the November elections into mid-November. But I have some difficult decisions to make. And some of it has to do with, you know, my personal finances and how I can spend my time in the most productive way. And others have to do with things beyond our control relative to the radio business and the kind of weak performance of progressive talk radio to date. Candidly, I was positioning this program hoping that by now, 4 years after Air America was launched, that we would have multiple progressive talk stations in every major city in the country, and that there would be a demand for programs like this. We're a little different. We don't do the kind of poke-in-the-eye radio that some people do. And we don't pander, at least I don't think so, to certain types of listeners. And so, in this complicated situation, we are looking for the way forward. And I've reached out to our listeners. If you go to our website, there's a little tab at the top. You can help. What can you do? You can help us find sponsors. Advertisers, underwriters, people who want to support this program and who can get a benefit from it to their business, their website, or their nonprofit group. And I encourage you to think about your friends, people you know, coworkers. Say, oh, yeah, they're starting up a new website, or, yeah, they offer, you know, books that are of interest to people who listen to this program. And so I ask you to be inventive, resourceful, and I recognize that you, as a listener of this program, are probably experiencing the same economic stresses that I am. You got to pay, it's $3.30 for a gallon of gas here right now, but it'll go back to $4 sooner than later. And the cost of a loaf of bread and All the basics, the staples, have gone up. And our incomes have not. And so there are people who send $10, and I want you to know, as grateful for that as people who write bigger checks. And so we're going to do everything we can, but it's my job here to be level with you and let you know that we are struggling and we're looking for the right way forward. We hope it all works out, but reality may come crashing down, and we may have to make some changes in the middle of November. So I wanted you to know about that. 888-573-8372. Let me know what you think about the political campaigns, the issues in the news, anything else that you want to get off your chest. 888-5-PETER-B. Pete and Carmel is next. Thanks for calling, Pete.
Oh, thanks, Peter. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Tell me something. We've of course been watching the campaign, and mm-hmm. I have a question nobody seemed to notice, but I'll ask it anyway.
All right.
Where are John McCain's kids?
They're babysitting Bristol Palin.
Well, in other words, why do I see all the candidates' kids out there, but I don't see his kids anywhere?
Well, one of his sons is in Iraq. I'll say that. And I believe there are five or six McCain children from, what, age 10 on up.
Yeah.
But I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure where they are.
Well, okay, then I'll be blunt. He's supposed to have a dark-skinned kid that he adopted.
That's right, a Bangladeshi child.
Is he basically being kept behind the curtain so that his followers don't see that? I mean, I'm sorry, I have to ask this.
Sure.
I am curious why, you know, I've seen the candidate's kids from John F. Kennedy on up,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see anything from him, so I'm wondering whether, you know, is this a deliberate thing, or is this just he doesn't think of them?
They were there for photo ops at the convention, but I'm trying to think if I have seen anything on the McCain children since, and I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
So let's see if there's somebody out there who's been paying more attention or maybe goes to Newsmax or some other right-wing website and has seen coverage. But it's a good question. I mean, the flip side of that is when Sarah Palin came out after the debate and held on to her newborn, I felt like she was, you know, showing off a prop. I mean, it was 11 o'clock at night, and here she has an infant child with disabilities that she's trotting around, you know, for TV viewers to see. I thought that was kind of bizarre.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Pete, thanks for the call today.
Thanks.
Always good to hear
Thank
from you. This just in from Brad Blog. When we last talked with Brad on Friday, we spent a lot of time talking about ACORN. And ACORN is this group of community activists. And one of the things they do is register lots of voters. And they've taken a lot of heat because there are these phony attacks on ACORN's voter registration drives. Part of the Republican themes of trying to use alleged voter fraud to distract people from election fraud, which is what they're good at. And so it is just a bit ironic that Brad has discovered that in 2006, one of the speakers at an ACORN convention, Senator John McCain. And here's a photo of McCain with, he's palling around with ACORN activists. And some of them are not white. Check it out at bradblog.com. And just keep in mind, anytime you hear voter fraud, think, that's BS. The real issue is election fraud. Brian's in Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome, Brian. You're on the air.
Right.
Oh, Brian? He got so excited he hung up on himself. Call me back, Brian. Either that or he does have a dog, Casper, there. And it's possible Casper got excited knowing that Brian was on the phone and bit the cord or something like that. Ben and Salinas on the line. Hi, Ben.
Yes, Peter. How are you doing? This is the great Ben, and I have a situation. I've been driving my congressman crazy in every way which that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I proposed. The real bailout is going to be about $1.2 trillion, as the insiders are saying, not the $700 billion that we've been told. Okay, I told my congresspeople, Pelosi, Conyers, all of them, as you reach each $100 billion incremental payout, please have the decency to send us a comprehensive budget report as to who got the money, what government, one person, what agency, because other than that, we're dealing with taxation without representation. Since it's our money, don't begin to tell me why we don't have the right to know where it's going and who's getting it.
Well, a good point here, Ben. Now, first of all, just to define our terms, we have to ask which bailout we're talking about, because the Bushies, I believe they made a big blunder in this $700 billion-plus bailout package, and we talked to Congressman Farr here on the program on Friday, and I expressed that because I've modified the metaphor that a listener helped me shape here, and this is the new version, all right? The Congress took a look at the Wall Street situation, and we compare that to a car that's broken down on the side of the freeway with four flat tires.
Oil and they're giving you gas.
Well, no, I like this one better. It's four flat tires.
Yeah.
Okay. And instead of fixing the tires, they filled up the gas tank.
I caught that. That's
so
very interesting.
That car is still going nowhere, but they filled up the tank with very expensive fuel these days. And so this money that's being thrown at Wall Street, and first, of course, it's going to go through a former Goldman Sachs guy who has unlimited authority to hire corporate contractors to do work that is very broadly defined.
Just like they want to turn the Social Security over to Wall Street so they can take half of it as a fee, mm-hmm. and the rest of you taxpaying without respect, we're not getting the representation for our money.
So
the numbers are interesting. $700 billion for the billionaires that caused this thing to happen, and the proposed accessory loan that they're talking about, $169 billion. So the ratio is like 1 to 5. For every 5 we get them, we get 1 for us who don't have the $80 billion.
Well, and what's not clear to me right now, Ben, is if the money for the banker bailout, all right, so this is the new wrinkle. They met with the G7 leadership, and those central banks are putting more cash out into the system, trying to loosen up credit. All right. And I by the way, I'm finally admitting there's a credit problem. I was in denial about that, and I still say it's been overplayed, and I think some of it is manufactured. I think the credit crisis actually was preceded by the reporting, mostly from panicky elected leaders, that we had a credit crunch.
But they're saying that all the conflicted properties that are winding up in foreclosures and the pension funds that are disappearing, like the $9 billion Bremer can't seem to find. They should waterboard that guy. But we're not getting any answers as to what the... There is no oversight on this money. The country is being looted, has been looted, mm-hmm. and they're still licking their chops over Social Security and Medicare. And who are they going to fight? The HMOs and the pharmaceuticals that have already put Medicare in their pocket?
I'm not sure about that. But Ben, here's the other piece. All right, now they're talking about buying stock in banks to prop them up and to improve their capital on hand with the thought that that will cause them to loan more money. Now, there's no real guarantee that this will work. We haven't been told if the money to buy this stock is coming from the $700 billion that's already been approved, or if this is going to be funny money printed by the Fed, or if they're going to come back for another bailout bill to pay for bank stocks. But this actually does appear to be more on target. This is like fixing two of the flat tires. It just doesn't guarantee that the banks will actually loan money and that that vehicle will roll again.
But I've even heard that all of the conflicted properties, especially those facing foreclosures, all of those properties could have been purchased for $100 billion or less. So the rest is just fat for the fat cats.
I don't know about that number, but
that's what I've heard of. My figures ain't too accurate, but usually mm-hmm. I'm pretty close to the target, Peter.
Well, what I have heard is that there are about $3 trillion in home mortgages that have been written in the last 5 years. They're not all problem loans. Many of those are 30-year fixed.
Right.
Okay, but the total pool, as I understand it, is around $3
trillion.
And again, coming back to the suggestion that you made now 3 weeks ago, if we really want to deal with the virus that has affected those loan products that have, you know, now been bet upon, and there's this whole Ponzi scheme of derivatives and other bets that have been placed upon it, okay, the only way to successfully pull out the sick loans, the bad loans, the virus, as I call it, is to refi the problem loans that can be identified.
That meet the criteria by today's market value, and give the guy that's living in there with his family a readjusted loan and let him deal with the government. And holy cow, we don't need another 20 million homeless in our streets, Peter.
No, we sure don't.
Ben, okay, thank you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break and return. There's room for another caller or two at 888-5. Peter B. We got Brian back from Manchester. He's going to be up first after the break. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Currently in Monterey on Highway 56 at Vieira Canyon Road, there are defective traffic signals. Also, taking a look at Santa Cruz, there is a traffic collision on Roush at Airport. CHP is currently on the scene. It's a beautiful afternoon here on the Central Coast. Currently, temperatures in King City are 69 degrees. Salinas is 77. Monterey is 75. Santa Cruz is 65, Hollister is 75 degrees, and Gilroy is 78. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they go, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Thank you, Coolio. We continue here in the Free Speech Zone, and we got Brian back from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, you're right about the Republicans and what they do. They're the real criminals in all of this, the Republican voting machine, quote-unquote, corporations. They do the election fraud, and their operatives all over the campaigns and the elections. They've done it in the 2006, too. They suppressed approximately 3 to 5% of the Democratic votes, even though we won back the seats there, 29 seats.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, Acorn has to turn in by law those ballots, even the faulty registration forms. They have to turn in the faulty forms, too, to the various secretaries of states and the state governments where they do their voter registration. This is all a bunch of bunk, and it's a phony, mendacious issue that John McCain is raising. Acorn is a very lawful organization. It's horrible. It's disgusting. And getting back to the Wall Street...
Wait just a minute, because I want to thank you for the email that you forwarded me. It's a fact sheet from Acorn.
Right.
And let me focus on two issues here, okay?
Okay.
One, a simple sentence here. Acorn has implemented the most sophisticated quality control system in the voter engagement field. But in almost every state, we are required to turn in all completed applications,
right,
even the ones we know to be problematic. So they're at a shopping mall, and 100 people a day come through there and sign up on a form. And some of them may make mistakes, they may have language issues, they may have learning issues or literacy issues.
Right.
And so they screw up. They put the wrong address, they put the wrong social security number or other identifying factor. And as they just pointed out here, by law, they have to take that, and they might use a red Sharpie and say bad or, you know, void or something like that. But they have to turn it in along with the valid registration forms.
Right.
And then it's up to the local election office to differentiate between those. And what they say in the fact sheet here is that often the election officials will come back months later and say, look at these bad forms. And it's like, yeah, we turned them into you and identified them as bad forms. So
Acorn found the faulty forms for them.
Yes. And so the raid in Las Vegas, the raid in Missouri, and others across the country are little photo ops being contrived. And these are the kinds of things that a few years ago
this is much like
would have been turned into a court case by a friendly U.S. attorney saying, oh, Washington wants me to indict some Acorn people.
Right. This is much like the phony Jessica Lynch rescue then apparently early into the Iraq war and occupation there,
mm-hmm,
apparently by the special forces and all that, too, when an Iraqi doctor walked about a mile to tell the American forces that this woman is being cared for in this Iraqi hospital, and she's not being tortured, and that they had to have a whole photo op of them raiding the hospital, and mm-hmm, it was, you know, a Rambo or something like that.
Sure.
Nonsense. But also about the bank crisis there, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they could have done, mm-hmm, a lot more supposedly, but they're trying to blame them now, the Republicans, when it goes back to early in 2004, 2005, some of their people were trying to say that they warned the federal government, they warned Wall Street's, the investment bankers about the dangerous overvaluation in many housing markets across the country, and they were not listened to by the Bush administration. And it's non-acting Securities and Exchange Commission has not been present, basically. Now they're present because of the visible scandal there.
Well, and Brian, the real reason that McCain is trying to finger Obama for the Freddie and Fannie problems is that he's trying to use race and class. He is trying to play off Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and say that Democrats forced them to make loans to unqualified people.
That is
supposed to be read as black people or minorities in white communities. So a lot of this is coded attacks. We've seen there's a TV commercial the McCain campaign produced, where they show a picture of one of the Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac executives who Obama only met once. And they try to Willie Horton him because the guy's African American. And so they put his picture up there, and this is supposed to play where? In Arkansas, or, you know, pick your generic redneck kind of zone,
and
that's what they're intending to do with this.
And Peter, one last thing: you don't all during the last 8 years of this total, giveaway to Wall Street. The Bush administration has totally deregulated everything for Wall Street and these investment bankers and the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Can you imagine any Acorn people ever having the nerve or to walk into any of these investment bankers' their offices and tell them that they better loan to black people and poor people? They'd be laughed out of those offices. The security were removing them immediately. It's nonsense. The American people, if they fall for this, then the fascism is only becoming further established. But this McCain campaign has no shame, it seems. And what they want, and I wanted to talk about the last caller you had very quickly that I talked about taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
This president alone has stolen basically $2.7 trillion from the annual Social Security trust funds that the American workers pay in for their own retirement. And that's Al Gore talked about a Social Security lockbox, and
right.
They ridiculed that good man about that.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. Hey, I want to tip you off. There's a free download video at freeforall.tv. That's a new election protection documentary, freeforall.tv. We had the filmmaker on our first guest today, and it's a great new film. Take a look at it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Hope you'll join me then, right here.
Keep smiling until then.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Another.
All smiles at the closing bell today. The Dow had the biggest one-day point gain in its history, closing 936 points higher at 93.87. The NASDAQ up nearly 200 points to 1844. The market was inspired by strong, coordinated government intervention here and in Europe. Reportedly, the U.S. Treasury will use stock purchases to pump up to $250 billion into the banking system. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the battered financial stocks were stellar performers today.
Another sector that was recently beaten down, auto stocks, doing great today. We've got shares of Ford and GM up better than 20% each. There's some talk that the big three, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, may be talking about some sort of a merger or partnership. And we've also heard that GM is going to be closing a plant next May. So it's taking steps to rein in spending.
It's a shot heard around the world. In Tuesday morning trading, Japan's Nikkei stock index is up more than 11%. Barack Obama, determined to keep his lead in the polls, seized the initiative on the economy today, unveiling a plan that includes a three-month moratorium on foreclosures. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has more.
Obama presented new proposals to jumpstart the economy.
Right now, we face an immediate economic emergency.
He told Ohio voters he'll create new jobs with tax breaks for employers.
Toledo, I won't pretend this will be easy. George Bush has dug a deep hole for us.
John McCain was in Virginia and North Carolina trying to keep them from going Democrat.
Senator Obama is measuring the drapes and planning with Speaker Pelosi and Senator Reid to raise taxes, increase spending.
He told supporters he's poised for a comeback. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In the Los Angeles area, wind-driven wildfires have scorched more than 8,000 acres and destroyed dozens of homes. One man was killed by the fire at the northeast end of the San Fernando Valley. And as police closed the 118 freeway, vehicles turned around and started driving against traffic. One person was killed in a head-on collision.
If you were counting on the stock market to fund your child